Are you ready to be with him in heaven for eternity? Turn to the 119th Psalm, and you'll be relieved that I'm not reading the whole Psalm. Have me understand how long that Psalm is. But let's stand to our feet, locate Psalm 119. I'm going to read two verses for you, verses 49 and verse 50. Again, good to have everyone with us today. Do be much in prayer for revival starting tonight. Brother Brenda Jones will be with us. And Sister Brenda does a wonderful work in prison ministry. I know that she visits Pee Wee Valley and regularly, I think even weekly, has a service there to minister to those ladies in prison. How many believe it's the heart of God to reach out for those that are hurting? I think it's a wonderful, wonderful ministry. And she does such a good job at it. She'll be ministering for us tonight. Verse 49 and verse 50, the Bible says, "Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." Can you say amen at that word? Will you reach your hands this way and let's agree together in prayer as we look to the scripture this morning. Father, we thank you and we praise you once again. Thank you for this service so far, the touch we feel. Lord, your presence and your power, we know that's here to minister. And Father, as we look to your word, open hearts, open minds, lead us and guide us in the way that you'd have us to go. We acknowledge you in all of our ways and you promise to direct our path. Just be glorified through this effort that we're making right now, Father, to preach your word. Lord, as we've already prayed, may we be hid behind the cross today. And Lord, may we find comfort in what you have done and what you have provided. We trust you right now. We believe you right now. I praise you in advance for what you're going to accomplish this morning. I know you're able and willing, and your power is sufficient for all of our needs. Be glorified today, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Shake someone's hand before you're seated. Some of you, I caught you too late. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Give me a few minutes this morning. I want to share some scripture with you. I really am going to ask you to turn to, I think, three places. I have other scriptures I will bring in. But just as a heads up, I want you to find 1 Kings. Hold your place there in Psalm, though. 1 Kings in the book of Hebrews. And those three books, I think, is all I'm going to ask you to turn to today. Love the Word, don't you? I believe the message this morning is more about a mentality than anything else. I want us to have the right frame of mind in attitude toward the Word of God. I want you to know your pastor believes in the Word of God. Your pastor trusts in the Word of God. My ticket to eternal life is contained in the Word of God. What I know about Jesus, I find in the Word of God. I've heard people talk about it. I've heard people preach about it. I've heard people teach about it. I've heard people sing about it. But my trust and reliance and understanding, Sister Betty, of who he is, solely based on the Word of God. And you hear things second-handed and somebody says this, that the Bible says this about this. And I found out that not everyone quotes the Bible correctly. Are y'all with me today? But my faith and reliance goes back to the Word of the living God. And I want you to gain that today. I'm going to ask you an odd question. I don't think in my 30 years of ministry that I've ever asked a congregation before. And I'm going to ask you a question in just a minute, and you may look at me odd. If you do quote what I say, do not quote what I say out of context. Understand the spirit by which I'm asking you this question. And I trust this question will puzzle your mind and stop and make you think. And just give me a few minutes to ask that question. David is saying here in verse number 49, "Lord, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which you, God, has caused me to hope." David is saying, God, you've given me a personal word. I've received your word in a personal way. I've leaned on your word, and even though the next verse is comfort my affliction, even though I've been through things, yet your word is such a steadfast bedrock foundational principle in my life. I'm leaning and I'm trusting in your word. Can you say amen? Now,
Notice here still in Psalm 119, jump up to verse number 81. He said, my soul fainteth for thy salvation. He says, but I hope in thy word. Now, the word hope is a wonderful, wonderful word. I looked that up in the original Hebrew in the Old Testament. It means to wait, to be patient, to hope, to stay, to tarry, to trust. And it's interesting. If you take the 119th Psalm, 176 verses, it's divided up into 22 sections of 8 verses each. Each of those 22 sections is named after and consists of a Hebrew letter. And it covers all 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Not like our 26, it's a little different language. Somebody say amen. It's interesting that verse 49, where we began, starts the 7th section. And where I just read in verse 81 starts the 11th section. And I know folks today that are superstitious. I'm not even a little stitious, hear me now, let alone being superstitious. Had a conversation with a person, you know, that mentioned about a black cat. I think black cats are beautiful. I really do. Wonderful creation. Has nothing to do with one crossing your path. It has no effect on your eternity or your immediate present next few minutes. And you can write all the X's on your windshield you want to. It won't affect. I don't want to go there. I have a future. And my future ain't predicted by a crystal ball, a Ouija board, somebody reading my palms, how the tea leaves turn, or how the stars are at any given time in the sky. My future is based, Sister Betty, on the Word of God and my Lord Jesus Christ. And come what may, regardless of the way the tide rises or the tide falls, hallelujah, if there's storm clouds in the sky, my Savior still sits on the throne and He is well able to keep all that I commit to Him. And I'm trusting Jesus today for everything. Can you say amen? I just thought it was interesting that it started the 7th and the 11th section. Guess what? It means nothing. God is good. I want you to locate 1 Kings. Locate 1 Kings. Now, I want to talk this morning on the thought of testing God. Brother Dennis, make a note of that title, Testing God. And I believe we test the Lord, and I'm getting ready to ask you a question in a few minutes, but before I do, I want you to understand the scope of the word hope. Hope is all through the Word of God. In Romans 15, Paul says, now the God of hope fill you. A title such that He is known by His giving of hope. And friends, I need hope today. You need hope today. And as we navigate through life's way And we have all these things thrust upon us. I want you to know, I don't know how a person survives without knowing Jesus and understanding they have peace for eternity. At any given moment, not trying to scare you, but maybe shock you into reality, at any moment, we're liable to check out of this world. Maybe next week you'll walk by my coffin and say goodbye to this preacher. But if you do, friend, take comfort to know that I'm on my way or already there in heaven in front of my Savior because I've already made reservations. Amen. But I'm going to give you hope today and know that our hope is in Jesus. Amen. 1 Peter 1 tells us, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish. Oh, hallelujah, without spot. Won't you lift your hands and praise Him for the blood today, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you by Him, who do believe in God, that raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Because of what Jesus done, I want you to know I can cast all of my care upon Him. Because of what Jesus done, I have a sure eternity. I have a foundation that will not be shook. It's not in me today. How many have disappointed yourself? Can somebody give me a hearty amen? You've let yourself down. You stumbled. You've fallen. I tell you what, but don't just lay there and wallow in self-pity. Get up and trust the Lord and take another step. Get back on the road. Hallelujah. 1 Kings chapter 8. I didn't forget. Verse 54. Fast forward as Solomon is dedicating the temple of God. It says here, and it was so. Am I reading in the right place? Are you scholars with me? That when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. How many have done that before? You've been on your knees with your hands to heaven. One part's down, one part's up. Figure that one out. But it works. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel." Read this with me. According to what? All that he had promised. Glory. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. How many can, by way of testimony, raise your hand and say, God has been good to you. He's never failed you. And everything God said, his word, you believe it to be, and you know that. Aren't you thankful today for the promises of God? Paul said in Corinthians that the promises of God, they're yes and they're amen. I believe in Christ, we can receive all things. But we need to trust God. Focusing on the Lord. Locate Hebrews chapter 6 for those of you that wasn't at the nursing home yesterday. I preached about the woman at the well and how her and Jesus got in a discussion about where to worship. She said, "This mountain's where we worship. Y'all think," the woman talking to Jesus, "y'all think you need to worship at Jerusalem." Well, Jesus said this, "Woman, the hour's coming. You'll need to worship on this mountain or at Jerusalem, but they that worship need to worship how? Worship God in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship Him." I want to worship God in truth today. I don't want to be fake. You ever met folks, they're just fake. They're one way one moment and another way another. I don't like fake people. And I want you to know, for those of y'all that are acquainted with me, I am who I am here, as I am out there, as I am sitting in your living room, as I am sitting at a restaurant or driving down the road. I am who I am. I love life. I smile. I laugh. I rejoice. Hallelujah. I know Jesus. I know Him 24 hours a day. I know Him 7 days a week. I know Him 365 days a year. And guess what? He shows up an extra day on leap year. You know why? Because He's God all the time. He's God every day. And we can call upon Him and we can trust in Him. And we can live a steadfast life and be the same. Notice Hebrews chapter number 6. It's not about a place. I preached yesterday. It's not about a preacher. But it's all about a person. And that person is Jesus. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm getting ready to ask you a question. How many understand I ain't asked that question yet? Hebrews 6:17, wherein God willing more abundantly. That's a cue for you to shout right there. God is taking the extra step. Going the extra mile. He wants to drive a point home to allow you to understand His unchangeableness. I'm glad God, Sister Betty's not fickle. I'm glad He's not wishy-washy. I'm glad He's not the fair-weather friend that we all have a few of. Say amen. But He is the steadfast, reliable one that sticks closer than a brother. Let me read this. Willing more abundantly. I love those adjectives. To show unto the heirs of promise the unchangeableness. It says here the immutability in the King James of His counsel. In order Him to stress that, He confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was, here's the word, say it with me, impossible. David, knowing God, could not lie, embraced the Word of God, leaned on the Word of God. Are y'all ready for this? Established hope in the Word of God, and then started reminding God of what He already said. Now, I will tell you, friends, God cannot forget. Isaiah said, "Can a woman forget her suckling child that she would not have compassion on the son of her womb?" Isaiah said she might, but God says, "I will not." And it's hard to comprehend the love of a mother and the possibility of them forgetting. But if the love of God is greater than that, whatever that is, I want some of it, want more of it. Gotta have it. Can you say amen? My God is that bedrock foundation, and He cannot fail. Understand that. And the writer of Hebrews says it's impossible for God to lie. Now, I know we use the phrase and we understand the phrase that God can do anything. He cannot lie. He cannot fail. And Scripture says He cannot deny Himself. How many have read those? Is that in there? Am I preaching right today? And since God can't lie, not only can He not lie, it's not within His character of being. It is impossible for Him to lie. One person said, if God speaks something that ain't, it is, because there's a creative nature to the Word of God. Therefore, what He says has to be true, because it comes into being. Now, let me finish. Glory to God. I'm getting ready to ask you a question. That we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Because He can't lie. We can trust Him and we can base our life on Him. Fast forward to chapter number 11. Our hope is based on God's immutable promise. David is calling God to task. David, the scripture we began with, our text, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. It's my comfort in my affliction, and your word has quickened me. David understood the eternal nature of God's word, and I believe we need to understand that too. How many of they believe we need to prove God? Test God. Now here's the question. And before I ask you this question, where I work at Stevens Pipe, we have what's called a help desk system. And with about 250 computer users in 13 different states, me and two other men run the computer department. We've got a lot of things people ask us to do continuously every day. We have them create a help desk ticket that tells what they ask, when they ask it, and it makes us accountable. And we've embraced this. We've asked them to do this. You know why? Because we want to be accountable. How many here, you don't mind being accountable? You're going to be accountable either way. Amen? But in my job, if someone walks down the hall and they tells me there's something to do, by the time I get back to my office, I may forget it. And they'll tell me 2 days later, did you ever get that fixed? And I forgot it. But if you make that ticket, and that goes into my work queue, and every day I look at that queue continuously throughout the day, I am responsible and accountable. I will either resolve your problem in one way or the other, or I'll come back and say it can't be done, but I will answer that request. I'm accountable. I like that. This morning, I want you to ask the question, are you holding God accountable? Now, how many have ever heard that in a church before? I never have. But this morning, I want us to hold God accountable. Now, here's what I know. I know that if we hold Him accountable and we put Him on trial and we test God, we're going to find that He's true. And if God tells us something in His Word, He's expecting us to rely upon it. He's expecting us to remind Him of it. Not that He would ever forget. Hear me now. But it exhibits our trust in God when we remind God of what He has already said. Can you say amen? I know the Bible tells us, it challenges us to bring our tithe into the storehouse and to be faithful in our giving. Sister Betty touched on that in Sunday school. He says, if you do this, if you prove me with it, I'll open the windows of heaven and I'll pour you out a blessing that you cannot receive. Somebody say, praise the Lord. God is saying, if you will obey me, you can hold me accountable. I will do what my word says. You can trust me, you can test me, and you can find that I am true. I cannot deviate from my word. You can build your life around it. Somebody say amen. Amen. I want us to hold God accountable this morning. And I'm not afraid of that statement, because I know He'll be true. The scripture teaches us a Passover, how the children of Israel were in the bondage and slavery of Egypt, and God brought them out, and there on the 14th day of the month of Abib was the slaying of the Passover. Take that blood, apply it to your doorpost. When the death angel comes through, if he sees the blood, he's going to pass by and he's not going to touch you. Exodus chapter number 12. You don't hear it mentioned often, but in verse 6 of that chapter, he says, I want you on the 10th day, I want you to set your lamb aside. It's got to be spotless. And then from days 10 up to day 14, during that 4-day window of time, Sister Wimmer, I want you to examine this lamb. I want you to verify that it's spotless. Test it, prove it, try it, make it accountable. How many can say that you've tried the Lord and you've tested the Lord and He's come through? You know, I believe today that the blood of Jesus is without spot and without blemish. I believe today that what He done was an acceptable sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. I believe today that God the Father ratified what Jesus done on the cross by raising His Son from the dead. 3 days, death could not hold Him. That grave could not contain Him. I want you to know He upset hell. He upset hell during that time. Glory to God. I believe He ripped the keys away from the devil, conquering death, hell, and the grave, and ascended back to God the Father. I know He's there by the presence and the power of God I feel this morning. He ratified it. He proved it. I've tested and found Him good. Oh, taste and see. The writer said in the Psalms, the writer said in 1 Peter, taste that the Lord is good. Have you tasted today? I believe we could almost say in our own vernacular, sample Jesus and try Him. I know Brother Lester Turner had that printed up once upon a time. So, you know, try the devil. If you don't like him, the devil will always take you back. Hallelujah. I think if you try the Lord, you try the best. Why settle for the rest? Notice Hebrews 11. I want to share this with you. I've got to this point. We need to test the Lord. And I'm going to hold God accountable today. Hallelujah. Do y'all ever argue with God? Anybody here other than me? He's always right. But that don't stop me from arguing with Him, okay? I'm glad the Lord looks at me and smiles today. He's a loving Heavenly Father. There was a time in my life in 1985 that I had an individual do me wrong. He'd done me wrong, and it's a long, long story that I'm not going to get into. But he was a young man that worshipped his automobile. How many understand it's fine to have nice cars and things, but there are things, there are objects. They'll perish one day. But this man, and what I tell you, I will stand before God with the story I'm going to relate to you. He caused me such grief and trouble on my job. I was kneeling by my bed praying when the Lord spoke this to me. This is being recorded. And the Lord said He's going to wreck his car. And I knew it was the Holy Ghost. I'm not wishing ill on no one. How many are with me today? I'm not praying against no one. I'm not wishing ill on no one. But it happened. And I know the Lord spoke that to me. His voice was so clear to the point I said, Lord, don't let him wreck his car. I don't want him to wreck his car. Anyways, the next day, he wrecked his car. And a friend was with him when he wrecked his car. The young man's name was Mark. When Mark got out of his car, he walked to the front fender. He slammed his fist against the fender. And the first words that come out of his mouth is, I'm going to have to apologize to Teddy. Back then, I went by Teddy. That's actually on my birth certificate. Well, I know there was another event that occurred that a person I knew was receiving the wrath of God. I felt it in my heart and spirit. And friends, I tell you what, I don't want nobody to get on the bad side of God. Are you with me? And I knew, Sister Betty, that the Lord was doing something. And the Lord was correcting and instructing. And they were going through an awful thing. But I went to pray for them. In spite of the fact I thought they're under the wrath of God, I said, Lord, I'm going to pray for them. I'm arguing with God, okay? Are y'all with me today? Hallelujah. How many know the Bible tells you to pray for your enemies and do good unto those that despitefully use you? I tell you what I want God to do. I want God to heal everybody. I want God to restore everybody. I want God to deal with everyone's heart, and I want everybody to be saved. Amen. Is that all right today? We want to hold God accountable. I want you to notice verse 17. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? By faith, Abraham, when he was tried. This is referring to a story recorded in Genesis 22. In which God told Abraham to do what? Offer up Isaac. Notice here, verse 17. Genesis 21, the chapter before, is the location in the Word of God in which Sarah told Hagar and her son, get out. And God said, this is His will. because in Ishmael is not going to be your seed, but your seed is going to be where? In Isaac. If y'all with me, say amen. But that's in Genesis 21, the chapter before Abraham offers Isaac, in which God is telling to Abraham, in this lad, I picture a teenager, I don't know the age, in him will your seed be called. And the very next chapter, the very first verse of chapter 22, God tests Abraham. Go to the mountains of Moriah and offer your son, your only begotten son. How many know what was in the back of the mind of God right at that moment? We know that. Now notice this, verse 17. He offered up Isaac, and he that had received is past tense, the promises, offered up his only begotten son. Abraham, who had received that promise, notice verse 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac thy seed shall be called. Now, verse 19, accounting. Here we go. God now, by Abraham, is held accountable. Can you imagine, moms and dads, if God were to say to you, take little Bobby, little Johnny, and offer him as a sacrifice to me? Well, Lord, you've already put in my spirit that he's going to be a preacher one day, or he's going to have children one day. Can you imagine on that journey, as you're going to that location, and it was a long haul, in your mind, you're saying to God, Lord, remember the word unto your servant. You have given me hope. And I read this verse here. Notice verse 19, friends. This is the word of God, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Abraham, as he's on this journey, I even believe up to the point that he raised that knife. He was thinking of the Word of God. He was leaning on the Word of God. He knew that God could not lie. His counsel was immutable. He could not and never fail. He knew that if he thrust the knife into the heart of that boy, either God would lie or God would raise him from the dead. How many believe that? Hallelujah. If God has given you a word, and that word has not come to full fruition in your life, I want you to do something right now. I want you to raise your hand to heaven, and I want you to start praising Him. And say, Lord, I want you to remember that word. It's the basis of my hope. I know you can't lie. I know you're sure. I know you're steadfast. And Lord, do the work that only you can do. Notice the rest of this verse number 19. I love this scripture. How many love the Word of God? Now here we go. God tested Abraham. But what you don't get here is that Abraham tested God. It was just as much test for God as it was for Abraham. Oh, hallelujah. Maybe I'm the only one that blesses. I don't know. But I want to tell you, you can test Him today. You can prove Him in your life today. Hallelujah. You can hold Him accountable. I think of Hezekiah. You know, the Bible talks about him coming to reign. Isaiah the prophet, in the 14th year of Hezekiah's reign, comes to him and says, set your house in order. You're going to die and not live. Hezekiah immediately turns to the wall and starts reminding God. Starts telling God of His Word. And check this out. Before Isaiah could get out of the third court of the palace, he's walking away. He delivered the Word of the Lord. And it was God. Amen. God told Isaiah, go back and tell him I've added 15 years to his life. Now you say, did that really change God's mind? Well, God knows the end from the beginning. He understands our response to anything that He would tell us. I believe the Lord has purposes and points for everything we do. Y'all with me this morning? But here's the thing. We can test Him. We can prove Him. And friends, I want you to know when we do, He'll come forth as gold. Let's just stand to our feet right now. Sister Betty, will you come to the piano and prepare a song for us? I want you to receive everything
the Lord has for you. And we're going to conclude service a little different this morning. We didn't receive prayer requests at the beginning of service. We did during Sunday school. But Brother Delmer Jones wants someone to stand in for him. But what we're going to do, we're going to have corporate prayer. And today, if you've got a loved one or a friend that's unsaved, I want you to raise your hand high before the Lord and hold it up there just for a second. Proverbs 3:5. How many have heard me quote that umpteen thousand times? That if you will acknowledge Him in all of your ways, He will direct your path. In the way of our loved ones, this hand is acknowledging God. We're saying, God, I need you to intervene in this need. How many this morning needs a touch in your body? You need physical healing, or you know someone and you're burdened in your heart for someone to be healed. How many understand that healing is the children's bread? It's a benefit of God, and you need to remind God and hold God accountable that you receive your healing. I believe that today. How many need revival? If you don't really need revival, we can go ahead and cancel tonight. How many need revival? You're desperate. You need revival. You need a touch of God. You need a renewing in your heart and mind. You need Him.
Praise the Lord.
How many just want a closer walk with the Lord? I believe every head should be raised. Hallelujah. Let's agree together in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning. We praise You this morning. Thank You for Your holy word. And thank You that, Lord, You want us to depend on Your word. You stressed how immutable Your word was and unchangeable Your word is. And Father, You've caused us to hope. You give us a reason to hope, Lord. And Lord, we're not going to back off from the hope You've given us. Lord, we're going to hold You accountable today. Lord, that You touch our loved ones, that You deal with their hearts, that they would be saved. Lord, that You give us revival in our church. You promised it, Lord, and we want to receive it. We're reminding You today, Lord. We're reminding You of Your goodness. We're reminding You of Your love. We're reminding You of Calvary and what You've done, Lord, to secure our salvation, what You've done to provide our healing. Lord, what all that You've done to provide our deliverance today. Heavenly Father, You know every need here. You know every person here. And God, we just pray You have Your way. Lord, we pray for Brother Delmer. Send Your word by to Campbellsville, Lord, to his house and minister to him. Touch him, Father, with Your power. Lord, we pray for Keith today, Lord, that You complete the work we know that You've begun in his life. Lord, I'm just praising You for the reports that I've heard. I'm thanking You that Your ears are open, Lord, to our cry. Lord, minister to our unsaved loved ones and deal with their hearts, Lord. Allow them to see the need they have for a Savior. Lord, let them see the wonder and the greatness of Calvary. Thank You for precious blood we know, Lord, was shed for everyone, not just us, but everyone. We acknowledge You in all of our ways. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Church, just praise Him this morning. Lift your hands and praise Him right now. Hallelujah. Thank You, sweet Jesus. Thank You, sweet Jesus. We honor You this morning, Lord. We love You, Lord. Thank You for Your hand extended. Thank You for Your touch and the power of Your Spirit this morning. Hallelujah. Have Your way, Jesus. Have Your way, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want us to come this morning. I want you to come and let's just stand in front of the altar. Everyone that would, let's just come and stand with your hands raised to heaven. You're coming to receive from the Lord. You're believing His promise. You want to remind Him today of His word. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. Oh, we thank You this morning.